The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light in this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they had thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. While Mary stayed at home, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she had heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what Jesus did and believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the works that I've done speak for me. May the life that I live speak for me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Echoing the words of the bishop 2 weeks ago, that was a long sermon.
It was.
You know, last week we had a pinch gospeler. That's just how long it was. John liked to write. He wrote a lot. I'm going to focus on just one small piece of what he did write. So, trivia question. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. There we go. That's not what we heard this morning. This morning's verse 35, Jesus began to weep. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Grief and belief. I'm going to boil it down to just those two. Jesus wept. First, I want to take us back to Martha and Mary. On Jesus' earlier visit, we heard about Martha, how she likes to keep herself busy. She concentrated on making the food whilst Mary sat with the men. All those jokes contrasting Martha and Mary. But today's Martha, she showed another side of herself. This Martha was magnificent. She hears Jesus is coming, and she goes out to meet him on the road, not wringing her hands, not complaining. Instead, we have Martha making a confession of faith that rivals anything else in the Gospels. Two statements. One, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And two, "But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Even now, even in the ruins of all that she had hoped for, even standing in the particular desolation of almost, Jesus was so close. The message had been sent and delivered. But still, even now, she believes. And Jesus meets her where she is. He doesn't rebuke her in her grief for the implied question of her words, "Why weren't you here?" He offers something else instead. Not an explanation, but a name. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Just one of the great I ams from John's Gospel. And then he asks, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" not as an abstract like we did 2 weeks ago during confirmation, as a doctrine to be affirmed by rote from a safe distance. But here, now, with your brother 4 days dead in the tomb, do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? And Martha answers yes. And her yes is one of the bravest things. It's right up there with Daniel in the lion's den. Because she says it without knowing what comes next. She says it whilst she's still devastated. She says it the way we're invited to say it all the time. Not after the stone has rolled away, but before. We're usually rushed past all of that, eager to get to the miracle. You know, eager to get to the part where the stone rolls away, the grave linen's falling off, and you know, Lazarus blinking in the light. That's the part of the story that we want, and it's a good ask. There's nothing wrong with that. But before we get to that part today, I want to just pause there for just a moment. I want us to stand at the tomb's edge before anything happens and ask what that means. Stand there with Jesus. There's a lot of buildup before this. Jesus receives word that his dear friend Lazarus is ill, and unexpectedly, he waits for 2 days before setting out. He already knows how this is going to end. He tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Glad? Jesus was glad he wasn't there? When Jesus gets there, when he has Mary laying at his feet, when he takes in the sound of the weeping around him, something shifts. John says he's deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, in distress even. And then he asked where Lazarus had been laid. They said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. Jesus wept. That's not a man unmoved by what he already knows. That's not a God watching from a clinical distance, pushing buttons and pulling levers. This is the Word made flesh, a flesh living, breathing, crying. The bystanders notice and say, see how he loved him. And they're not wrong. But I think we're witnessing something even larger than the love of a friend. Jesus weeps at the tomb of Lazarus because he has fully entered into the human condition. And as humans, we understand that we lose people. We stand at graves. We stand at hospital beds. We stand in doctor's offices. We speak of those we love in the past tense. Every human that has ever lived has known this particular darkness. To, and I'm going to butcher the quote, I'm sorry, to walk ever humbly in radiant darkness, braving your midnight. That place where someone who used to be and is no longer. Jesus in this moment is not above that darkness. He's standing in it, beside Martha, beside the mourners, fully present to the weight of it. That's what makes this such a great story. Not merely that God observed human suffering from a distance, heavenly distance, but that God entered it and took on a body that could be hungry and tired, frightened, and a heart that could break. We get to see tears and sympathy on divine face. Some more of the bystanders reacted differently. They ask, could not the person who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? It's a real question. It's a hard question. It's essentially the same question that Martha asked when she met Jesus out on the road. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Some of you know that question as well as I. We have asked it ourselves in hospital rooms, in waiting rooms, in the hours after a phone call that changed everything. When the prayer that we prayed with everything we had was not answered in the way that we begged. God, where were you? Could you not have prevented this? John doesn't give an answer to that question. There may not be an answer to that question, at least not the way that our rational minds want. What he gives us instead is the image of Jesus, troubled in spirit, walking towards the tomb, and weeping. I'm saying that God doesn't always respond to our hardest questions with an explanation. God responds with presence. God responds by showing up, and before doing anything else, weeping with us. That is not God doing nothing. I was supposed to meet a friend for dinner last week. She didn't show up. She did text while I was there with an explanation, or an excuse. She's Jewish. A cousin had died, and she left that afternoon to go to the family to help them. Remember, Jesus was Jewish. And the tradition is to accompany the bereaved. Sitting with them and their grief is one of the most sacred acts that a person can perform. Comforting the mourners. Tradition is that you don't speak. You wait. You follow the mourner's lead. You are simply there, present. Jesus knows that tradition. He knows the Torah down in his bones. When he arrives, he doesn't have a speech prepared. He doesn't bypass the grief to get to the glory. He's troubled. He enters the mourning before he transforms it. He does this not just because he loves Lazarus and Martha and Mary, but because he wants us to know, to really know, that our grief is not invisible to God. Our tears do not fall in front of an unmoved deity. Before asking Lazarus out of the tomb, Jesus prayed, and we should all pray frequently, genuinely. He prayed, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me. We can believe when we bring our losses to the altar. We are not handing them to someone who has never lost a loved one. We can believe that Jesus stood where we stand. Jesus wept. And because of what comes next, because of his own death and resurrection, weeping is not always the last word, but it can be the first two words. Jesus wept. Those two words can work as a whole theology of what it means to have a God who is not distant, not detached, not unmoved by the particular suffering of particular people in particular moments of grief. Jesus, he mourned for Lazarus. He mourned with Martha. I believe that he mourns with us still. Not because he has no power to act, but because he has the power to love. And love, especially divine love, enters fully into the sorrow before it brings us into joy. good news. Remember this. We are the Easter people, the resurrection people. Dying and resurrection, they are a part of our liturgy, at our very core of being a community. When we stand before the different kinds of tombs in our lives, loss, fear, uncertainty, he stands with us. He weeps with us and is already at work bringing life. The God who weeps with us can also raise the dead. Amen.